are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On NBA podcast. We're doing this on video. We're doing this on YouTube now for the first time here. So welcome aboard as we work through the kinks. I'm John Corrales, one of your regular Wednesday co-hosts. I host the Locked On Celtics podcast. Follow me on Twitter at @RedsArmy_John.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at @NolaJake.
I just immediately didn't do the first thing I said I was going to do, Jake. So we're off to a rocky
Maybe you're
start.
Just tired. You're tired like Kevin Durant's tired after playing 48 minutes in that game.
I was going to say I'm performing like the Milwaukee Bucks down the stretch of this game five. I mean, just holy crap. Wow. Wow. What the hell can you say about this? But before I say anything about this, let's just start with this show is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app. Join me in my room. Join Jake in his room this week. Check us out. Different days, whatever. Follow us on Locker Room. Changing the way we talk about sports is a fun little app that allows you to talk to us and talk to other fans. It's great stuff. Okay. A lot of people be in Locker Room talking about the 114-108 Brooklyn win, which Kevin Durant just took. Kevin
Masterpiece.
Durant.
Masterpiece.
Just flat out. Took this game from Milwaukee. I cannot express this any other way. Milwaukee was cruising. Milwaukee had everything in their favor. James Harden sucked. Everything was going their way. Then Brooklyn started hit a couple of shots, and then Kevin Durant started to hit every shot. Every shot went down for him. He finished the game 16 of 23. 49 points, 17 rebounds, 10 assists.
It's a masterpiece. It's a legacy game. Everyone said he needed to step up, right? You saw it on Twitter. They were saying, well, I think it was The Athletic. It was like, he needs to have his LeBron moment. I don't know what more you need from the dude. This was a game where the Nets looked cooked early on in this one, right? Like, they looked done. It looked like Milwaukee had all of the momentum in this series. They were favored in this game. And he just decided this team wasn't going to lose. And it was it's a legacy game. We're going to look back on his Hall of Fame career, particularly if the Nets win a title this year. And this is going to be one of the first games that people point to. I don't know if I've ever seen something like that. In a must-win situation, right? If they lose this game, they probably lose the series. And he broke the Bucks. It's like when Bane breaks Batman over his knee and breaks his back in the comics and the movie too. Get a little nerdy here. Like, it was like that, like this just crushing blow that is so demoralizing. And then he had a shot late in the fourth, that one where it was an awful possession by the Nets, right? And he just launches this three and banks it in, and from what, 30 feet out, and it shouldn't have gone in. It didn't matter. He was hitting those kind of shots. You just know it was his night. Again, I keep saying masterpiece because that's what this was.
Oh, 100%. This is one of the best takeover moments that you're ever going to see in a basketball game, what Kevin Durant did. Because let's look at this just from the Brooklyn Nets perspective. All right. Joe Harris shoots 2 of 11, 5 points. You get James Harden, who, playing on one leg, completely just a shell of himself, was not good at all. 1 of 10, 5 points. You get almost nothing from anybody else. 3 players scored in double figures. Awesome game from Jeff Green. That was huge. Jeff Green at one point was 5 of 5 from three. He was just kind of helping the Nets hold on. And if he didn't hit those shots, I think that loosened up the Milwaukee defense. And then Kevin Durant after that just started going crazy. But he had no real help other than Jeff Green. Blake Griffin hit a couple of shots. He was okay. But Blake Griffin wasn't anything important in this game. This was simply Kevin Durant getting to his spots, hitting mid-range jumper after mid-range jumper, that right side about 10, 12 feet, just getting there and hitting it over and over and over again. And then pulling up from three. What did he finish from three? 4 of 9 from three. 13 of 16 from the line. And he played all 48 minutes. On top of it all.
So that's the incredible part of this, right? And look, we'll get into the Bucks side of things in the next segment, because you know, Durant got a little bit of help. I think the Bucks gave him a little bit of help here in a certain way, but for his own team. Yeah. Like we need to talk about this because as much as we're kind of looking at this game from Durant, this was a collapse from the Bucks too, but no, you're right. Look, Harden didn't score his first points or his first field goal until halfway through the third quarter. He looked like they should have played anyone else but him in this one. He was scared to attack. He was scared to do anything. He couldn't. He was just kind of stationary on the perimeter for the most part. It should have been almost in a way easy to stop Kevin Durant. And at times they tried to actually make it hard to stop Kevin Durant. And he still scored over him, as you said, getting to the right side, getting his shots. And you kind of see a theme, I think, a little bit through the playoffs of guys who can go and get their buckets there, who can score kind of in a variety of situations. And he's one of the best that's ever done it, right? We're going to look at him and he's one of the best scorers of all time in the NBA. And having a guy like that who can just put the team on his back is such a massive thing. About halfway through the first quarter, I kind of was watching this game and I go, you know what? The Nets are going to be my favorite to win the title next year. Not this year, because I thought they were going to lose this game. And I go, oh, they'll tinker around the edges. Harden will get healthy. They'll have vets who want to play for them kind of just lining up, right, to take cheap deals to play on this team next year. And they'll be the title favorites. You get a performance like that from Kevin Durant, and we kind of remember that, like, yeah, there may be the title favorites this year when you kind of break it all down, because when you have someone that does that, there's no way to defend almost any of what he did in this, even if the Bucks, you know, actually came up with a good game plan, which they didn't have for him, admittedly, in this game.
I do think, and we'll talk more about the Bucks, like you said, in the second segment, but defensively, I still don't know why they made certain decisions. Like, they had Jrue Holiday covering James Harden. Why? James Harden was on one leg. He couldn't move. He's not driving past anybody. You don't have to worry about shooting. He's off. Take the opportunity here to put somebody else on James Harden and put Holiday on like Landry Shamet. So when Durant's calling for a pick, you at least, if you're switching, you have Holiday on there. And where the hell was Bobby Portis in this game? Why do you have Brook Lopez out there trying to defend against this smaller lineup? Have Bobby Portis out there. So if Bobby Portis can at least slide on, provide a little bit of length on Kevin Durant. I mean, you're looking for something here. Why didn't the Bucks do something to throw some double teams, pick Durant up full court, do something to prevent him from just walking into some of these shots? Because as soon as he's got the ball and has the dribble, he's too long. His shot release is too high. There's no one who's going to challenge him out there. You didn't put Giannis on him, which would be choice.
And we'll get into all of that, because I'd like to get into all of that, because look, I don't really have much to say about the Nets other than Kevin Durant was awesome. Like, that's the story from the Nets. He was just that good and he carried them to a win. But the other side of this, the flip side of it is, what the hell were the Bucks doing in the second half of this game? Offensively, defensively. We need to talk about that. And you brought up all of those questions. Sure. And we'll get into them, I think, probably in like a second or two here.
Yeah. I don't know. But let me just put it this way to wrap up the Kevin Durant portion of this conversation. This was great. Now he's got to do it again. Because if we look at this realistically, it took a godlike effort from Durant. Now, maybe they'll get more from Joe Harris and they'll get more from other guys and whatever, but you're not going to get Kyrie back for this series. I don't see Harden's hamstring magically getting better. So can Durant do this again? And then again, I mean, he might have to do this two more times in this series. This is going to be a super fascinating rest of the series with Durant. He played 48 minutes. At some point, this is going to catch up to him, you'd think.
You think so, but also I kind of believe in these guys, and if he can kind of keep shooting like he does, and look, I don't exactly believe in the Milwaukee Bucks and the coaching staff and adjustments and things like that after this game. So I don't know. Makes the series more interesting when I thought it was over, though.
Well, we'll talk about that. I think the Bucks are one of the most panicky good teams we've ever seen. So we'll talk about that next. First, locker room, like I talked about at the top, they have brought you this episode. It's the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. It's on iOS. It's on Android now in beta. Basically, it's sports talk radio in your hands. I know, Jake, you do a locker room regularly.
Wednesdays, it's 6 p.m. Central, and I'm just going to say you all should jump in there tomorrow.
I feel like that's going to be a good idea.
Yes.
And I do mine on Fridays covering the Boston Celtics. Celtics looking for a head coach. I know that, you know, there's three other head coach openings now. There's a lot of competition for head coaches. So that's a big topic of conversation in my locker room as well. So join me on Fridays, join Jake on Wednesdays. Download the Locker Room app on all your iOS devices. Make sure you link your Twitter, join the NBA group for the latest league updates. Follow me at John Corrales. Jake, you're at Nola Jake, right?
At Nola Jake.
Very simple. Matches your Twitter handle. So don't miss it. It's, like I said, sports talk radio on the palm of your hands. Join in. Get on stage. Talk to us. You know, ask a question. Make a comment. Hop in the chat room. It's great. So Locker Room is changing the way we talk about sports. Make sure you download it. Tune in. Let's get to the Bucks side of things in this. Just what is a brutal, crushing loss from the Milwaukee Bucks side. They had this game. They had it. And Kevin Durant went and took it. But from the Milwaukee side, they certainly blew it as well, because they lost 114-108, but they had chances. They had it tied at the end. They still, like I said before the break, they are the most panicky, good team I've seen. They were great early on. They came out with a purpose. They came out attacking the switches. They came out attacking using Giannis as a screener and getting the guards hit, attacking the rim, knowing that Blake Griffin was going to be in his drop coverage. They did a great job early. They hit first. They took everything out of Brooklyn early and were cruising. Yeah, Brooklyn made a little run. They kind of evened things out in the second. In the third, it looked like Milwaukee was going to have answers, even though they were starting to devolve away from things. But then once Kevin Durant started going, it feels like everyone really just went into ISO mode. And we saw some really bizarre decisions. Giannis was making some poor decisions. I feel like Giannis gets drawn into a duel with Kevin Durant, and he's just not.
He tried to be Kevin Durant. Like, he tried to do a Kevin Durant impression in this game, and unfortunately, the real Kevin Durant is better than Giannis trying to do an impression of him. Look, they unraveled. There's no other way to put it, and this is kind of one of those losses where the blame is on everybody. It's on the players. It's on Giannis. It's on Drew Holiday. As much as I hate to say something like that, it's on Coach Budenholzer as well. He was like flat out bad with some of the kind of preparation and adjustments. They completely unraveled for a game that they look to have in hand, and maybe a series that they would have had in hand had they won this one. In the second half, they refused, and this is on the coaches and the players, to flat out attack James Harden, right? It's summed up by that one possession late in the fourth where you had Giannis matched up one-on-one with Harden defending him. Gimpy Harden, who could barely move in this one, and instead of trying to attack the basket, Giannis just does a turnaround fadeaway mid-range jumper, which is like not his game. Just what are you doing? And then when they had a possession to potentially tie it almost in a fast break, and they were kind of passing the ball around like hot potato, no one wanted to take the shot. They were all scared to take the shot, and it resulted in a turnover. Kevin Durant recovering the ball, holding onto it for some free throws. You can't be scared in those moments, and they just did not seem like they knew what to do, and they weren't ready to try and do what they wanted to do.
And this goes back to what I was saying before, and I don't know what the answer is going to be post-game of why he didn't play Bobby Portis. But Bobby Portis has been useful in this series. It's not
in
like
some capacity. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he's flat out sucked. He, you know, he played, you know, 12 to 17 minutes in each of these games. And all right, so he's had some games where he's not been great, some games where he's been okay, but why not put him out there and not put Brook Lopez in situations like I saw two Brook Lopez floaters. I should never see Brook Lopez taking floaters like that.
No, go ahead.
No, please.
It's just, yeah, no, it's everything about this was weird, right? I watched Drew Holiday for years. I've seen him guard Kevin Durant in playoff series and do a really good job. And Kevin Durant has outright come out and said, Drew Holiday does a really good job of defending him about as well as anyone in the league. Maybe throw him on there more instead of, as you said, throwing Drew Holiday on Harden, who was a shell of himself. Giannis is a defensive player of the year. There was not one possession, in this game where he guarded Kevin Durant. Like, what are you doing, Bucks? Double team Durant. When the guy is burning you like that, don't just stick with what you've been doing. You need to make an adjustment and try and do something a little bit different. Throw two guys at him, force the ball out of his hands, and let anyone else beat you, because that is a better shot for your defense than it is for the Nets and what they were trying to do. It's just... everything they did, every decision they did in the second half and all of that was just maddening to me. And it's, you know, I don't actually think I would be a better coach than any coach in the league. I know we like to joke about this stuff. And then you get a game like tonight where, yeah, I would have done a better job coaching the Bucks than Budenholzer did.
See, yeah. Oh, well, look, that was just a failure on all sides. Besides, I'm going to focus on the Bucks offense, because as much as we can have legitimate, like, why didn't they do these certain things to stop Kevin Durant? Let's just accept for a second that Kevin Durant is on this godlike heater, and you're just going to have to hope at some point that he misses, right?
Yeah, I get it. I get what you're saying.
So,
like, control the things you can control more, and you can probably do better on offense than you could actually slowing him down.
And I think for sure they could have done things to try and slow him down a little bit more. But you're sacrificing in other places. Personnel certainly could have done a difference, you know, given them a difference. Like you said, with Drew Holiday guarding him, why not try that? Why not have Giannis? All of that stuff is true. But let's just throw out there that, hell, maybe he would have scored anyway. Still on the other end, the Milwaukee Bucks didn't do the things that they needed to.
They didn't run a single play, it felt like.
Right. So he's out there and he goes on his, like, boom, 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 you know, jumper, three-pointer, and you're like, all right, timeout. Let's calm down. Let's figure this out. Now, they were really packing the paint. Brooklyn was packing the paint. They were backing way off. So why not run some things? They finally started running some things to go side to side and run some dribble handoffs and force Brooklyn to make some decisions and see if you can't pry open a lane while, you know, with your offense. But what Milwaukee has done over and over again in this series and in this game was, oh, you know what? They're switching. I have a matchup that I like. I am just going to attack it. And it's everybody back up. Let me attack this matchup. When you can run your offense, you can run the things that were working before and get yourself better in rhythm shots. Why not try some things? Why not run some pin down stuff? If they want to pack the paint, run some pin downs and get Chris Middleton coming up and catching the ball on the move and maybe hitting a free throw line jumper. Just calm stuff, not off the dribble stuff, catch and shoot stuff. Things that will just at least allow you to stem the tide and not have to rush back in transition and be cross-matched and oh, who's
that's a
got
really
Durant?
Good point. You know, you're right. Your bad offense influences your bad defense. Yeah.
That's it.
No, get back, get set. You know, that's a big thing, right? You don't allow transition. You don't allow those semi-transition opportunities. That's all really important. I hated everything we saw from the Bucks pretty much in the second half. Like, yeah, bad shot after bad shot, as you were kind of saying. I don't know. I don't know. I wouldn't go listen to Locked On Bucks if you're a Bucks fan. And, I mean, you know, if you know a Bucks fan, please shoot them a text and ask them if they're okay after something like that.
Locked On Nets is going to be a big party. Locked On Bucks is going to be, I would just expect if you were bleeping out the cursing, it would just sound like one big flat line across the whole thing. I don't know what to make of the Bucks, man. I just, you think you got something there, and all of a sudden it just falls apart, and they, there's nothing more I can say. The most panicky good team that I've seen out there,
right?
You know, a two-time MVP, an all-star in Chris Middleton, guys who should be able to be like, oh yeah, no problem. We're gonna figure this out. They are not good under pressure. No one on that team is good under pressure. Not the coaching staff, not the players, not nobody. And so I don't know what the hell they're gonna what we're gonna make of them. All right, let's let Locked On Bucks and Locked On Nets do the rest of the talking for us about this game. This has been an amazing game, an amazing collapse, and all of that stuff. We'll come back. We'll talk all NBA because those teams came out as well. In the meantime, let me tell you about Built Bar. Built Bar, do you have any of your Built Bars left? I ate all of the ones that they sent me.
I just did a reorder because I was running out. And look, I'm trying to get a little bit trimmer for the summer, and these things have been like an absolute essential part of that routine.
So if you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you can see the specials that they have. They got these Built Bites that are out there, which are basically smaller versions of the Built Bar. That's pretty cool. But go get yourself some actual Built Bars. And when you go to BuiltBar.com, you can like roll over each one and it gives you the nutrition information. So like if I want to get a salted caramel one, it'll tell me the nutrition value on here, which is 130 calories. You're going to get 17 grams of protein. Boy, slow loading computer all of a sudden. So if you go to BuiltBar.com, just check them all out, whichever ones you want. They're great. If you're on a keto diet, they're perfect for you. I like to get them and have them after the gym. You know, you lift weights. Great to get that protein in you. Whatever you want. Get a nut allergy, no problem. They got you covered. If you go there and you use the promo code LOCKED15, you're going to get 15% off your next order. LOCKED15 for your next order at BuiltBar.com. The money you can save there, maybe you go into betonline.ag, which is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. Whatever you want to bet on, it doesn't matter. They've got you covered. And if you use the promo code LOCKEDON there, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. So whatever you deposit, you $100, you get a $50 welcome bonus. It's a 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. And you can bet on anything. International sports this, I think it's the UEFA Cup or something. I don't know. Some soccer thing's going on right now.
European soccer, it's going on. It's been really fun. And yeah, you want to make those games more interesting right now.
Absolutely. So, put a couple bucks on that. Go use the promo code LOCKEDON. Get 50% off. Get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Everything that you just heard us talk about on the road to the finals, the NBA playoffs coverage, is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, we can all enjoy the games a little bit more this postseason. If you're a Bucks fan, you're drowning your sorrows in your Michelob Ultra. And if you're a Nets fan, you're throwing your money around buying the whole bar of Michelob Ultra to celebrate that. In the meantime, before the game, the all NBA teams were announced. First team is Giannis, Jokic, Curry, Doncic, Kawhi. Second team, Lillard, Embiid, Chris Paul, Julius Randle, LeBron James. Third team, Gobert, Butler, Paul George, Bradley Beal, and Kyrie Irving. Anything in that group there, Jake, that just pisses you off? We're supposed to get pissed off about these, right?
Yeah, I know. Look, I want to, and I'll probably fake it a little bit on Locked On Pelicans about Zion not being on there. But look, I don't get too worked up on this, but some people will. And if you want to hear why your favorite player on your favorite team was snubbed, and definitely I agree with you, they absolutely were, right? Go listen to the Locked On podcast about that, because that's what we're all going to be talking about this. If anything, it just highlights the flaws with the all NBA voting. I think, in terms of positions, which we'll get into, I'm sure, with Jason Tatum on this year in a second. And the fact that, you know what, there were just some people who were really, really good this year. And when I look at it, I can't necessarily disagree with it. You know, I think there's some inconsistencies about where do you value a guy and, you know, how good his team is. How does Booker and or Donovan Mitchell get off, left off of that when that was the 1 and 2 seed in the Western Conference? And then a guy, you know, like Julius Randle's probably elevated on there because the Knicks were good, I think, to a certain degree, not to take away from his year. It's that kind of stuff that, you know, I want to nitpick. We need to redo this and think about a different way of doing these ballots and having the all NBA awards. But at the same time, it probably accomplishes what the league wants, which is meaning we're all yelling at each other on Twitter about this right now.
Yeah. It does. It does spark conversation. I don't mind who made it. Okay. Yeah.
Donovan no, I really Mitchell, don't.
Yeah. You know, we can say what we want about Donovan Mitchell, but I don't think that that's too bad that he was left off. Like he's borderline. You got to take somebody off to put somebody on, right? Like that's how this works.
Yeah, no, totally.
So did Donovan Mitchell have a better year than Kyrie Irving? You might make the argument that Kyrie didn't play the whole year. And so, okay, fine. That could have been a place. Bradley Beal, I know he was on a bad team, but like Bradley Beal had an amazing season. He's just a ridiculous scorer. And, you know, I don't mind this. We can go crazy. I don't even mind that Jason Tatum didn't make it. Like Jason Tatum he missed a bunch of time with COVID and all of the things that were going on in the middle of that season. I'm not so upset. I thought that he could have made it, but again, better than Bradley Beal. Yeah, maybe, but not so up in arms that I'm going to lose my mind. But here's the thing.
The bigger thing is the money, right? For the players and the fact that this factors that's into right. contracts. And that's where I really hate this. And then Tatum's a really interesting one when you look at kind of the voting split on there too.
Yeah. So Jason Tatum was was listed as a forward and a guard. And because he received a majority of his votes as a forward, he was listed. They basically said, okay, now you're a forward. But because Paul George had more points, if Paul George had been listed as a guard, then because he was a forward and a guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if he got more picks as a guard, then he would have knocked Kyrie Irving out and it would have been Beal and George, and then Tatum would have made it because Tatum had 69 total points, which is more than Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, it's the points is just kind of weird and it gets a little crazy and all of this, and they probably need to classify it better to a certain degree. But the way I kind of look at it is if you had just taken it by points, you know, it could be Jason Tatum on there instead of Kyrie Irving, even though they kind of voted right for him in a different position. But he was eligible for that one, so maybe do you need to find room to put him on there? But the end result is this. It what costs him potentially $33 million now?
$32.5 million. Because it's a max extension. It would have been a Rose Rule extension. He's eligible. They agreed to max him out. So the max without making that all NBA team was 25% of the cap. Max, if he made any one of these teams, would have been 30% of the cap. So basically $5.5 million more in the first season, and then 32.5 over the course of 5 years had he, you know, played all 5 years. He's got a player option in the last season. So he has 69 points and Kyrie Irving has 61, but because of the way they're classified, Tatum's not there and Kyrie Irving is. And to make it even worse, Tatum has two first place votes to Kyrie's none, and he has 9 second team votes to Kyrie's 7. And so Kyrie has 40 third team votes and somehow he ends up that he gets the, you know, that's where you get a bit of the pushback. If there's any pushback, Tatum's the one. Tatum's the guy. And look, Tatum's going to be all right. To everybody listening,
they're making enough money. They're okay.
Right. He's certainly, by the time he's 70 and he's watching his son, Jason Tatum Jr. retire from the NBA, like there's plenty of money going around in that family. He's going to have plenty of money. He'll make up. He'll get $32 million in endorsements that he didn't have before. He'll be fine. But the point
it's still, but it's the principle the of the thing, of it, right? Like this, this affects a guy like Donovan Mitchell too, who's not going to get it.
Right. Right. And first of all, who are we? And now I am a sports writer. I don't have a vote, but it's possible I could have a vote at someday. Who am I to be like, I determine whether you get $32 million or not. My vote, if I decide to say, I'm going to put Tatum as a guard, then boom, then that gets you $32 million. And what am I supposed to think? How am I supposed to make this decision? Do I sit here? How many voters thought about like, well, if I put Tatum on and not Kyrie, then Tatum gets his $32 million. Do I owe it to Tatum? Like things like that. Like certainly
again, it's kind of like mind games in a way, isn't it?
Right. Because if I sit there and I say, if my vote costs him $32 million, that's tough. If he's going to get that contract anyway, but if he suffers a major injury during the course of this contract and that's $32 million that he could have had, look, generational wealth, man, this is important. I don't care how much money you make. If you could have had more money, if you earned it, and Tatum especially, because of the way the voting broke down, earned it. He has more points than one of the guys on the All-NBA team. Now, again, I'm not necessarily upset that he didn't make an All-NBA team in general, but the points, the way they broke down, how does a guy with more points not make an All-NBA team because simply of classification? And this is just going to spark the whole conversation about positionless voting. Let's just vote. And it doesn't matter. Guard forward. We do all-star game without positions. We kind of generalize it. Why can't we do wings and bigs in all NBA or just do it positionless and just go?
Or get rid of the Rose Rule and all of this stuff. And then we don't really care. And, you know, these votes spark fun conversations. We can yell at each other. You can kind of be a homer for it because it kind of delves into like partisan politics, right? Like you stay in your guy on your favorite team and he should have been over there over whoever else it was. And those conversations are kind of fun to a certain degree, I think. And it sparks interest in the league. And it's just talk. It just drives interest in the NBA, in the association, and I think that's good. So I think the bigger thing is just get rid of this. Like, just get rid of this. Give them the money. The next TV deal is going to be so big anyway. When you renegotiate the CBA with all of this stuff, just give them the extra 5%. You don't need a way to kind of incentivize this. And then the max deal is 30%, and it's as simple as that, instead of 25%. And like, we can take this out of there. We've seen people screw up these votes at times where someone's left off, or they really clearly don't understand how some of these awards should work. Andre Drummond getting Defensive Player of the Year votes and things like that. Like, unless you have like a true panel of experts, and I think most people are good, like 90% of the people probably are good, but 10% might swing some of this, right? And that's where you can't have it in a system like this when it's not that people's livelihoods are at stake, right? Again, as you've said, there's enough money there and they'll be fine. But still, if someone should have $33 million more, they should have $33 million more, not, you know. That's kind of how it goes. And so I just dislike all that stuff. But like looking at it on the surface, yeah, I think Zion was probably one of the 15 best players in the league this year. But because of the positions, you probably really can't put him on there. It just kind of is what it is, you know?
Yeah. 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 Like
hot takes coming here from us, I'm sure.
Yeah. We'll rant and rave on our own podcast about this. I know I'll do a whole segment more on Tatum on the Locked On Celtics podcast because why not? I think there'll be more outrage there. But yeah, I agree. Like, and especially my last point will be, I don't know that they expected when they put this rule together, I don't know that they expected the salary cap to get this high, like 25% versus 30%. Like, all right, it doesn't matter. The incentivizing was that extra 5% was going to help you keep this person. Then, okay, fine. But then the salary cap grew to a point where it's like 25% is not going to, he's going to be fine. 25% of this salary cap is going to get him plenty of money. And it's not going to be like, ooh, Boston could have kept him if he had 5% more of the cap. Like, that's not going to be that big of a difference.
It doesn't make a difference. Yeah, completely.
The dynamics have changed, which is a whole other podcast. So we'll save that for another off-season podcast for sure. In the meantime, I want to thank everybody for checking out this show. You can also check out the Locked On Today podcast, which is all the news that you need in less time, about 20 minutes. They'll be talking more Kevin Durant on that as well. Thank you for watching this show. I am one of your regular Wednesday co-hosts, John Corrales. You can find me on Twitter at @RedsArmy_John. Again, obviously, I host the Locked On Celtics podcast.
And I'm Jake Madison, host of the Locked On Pelicans podcast. Subscribe. You're just going to want to. And you can follow me on Twitter at @NolaJake.
Do it. Talk to you later. Make sure you subscribe to Locked On NBA. Thanks for watching and share the podcast. Tell everybody that they should be watching and listening to the Locked On NBA podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.